right. Well, welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, there we go. That was good. See, some of you came back from last week's message, so you guys get bonus points just for showing up today because you knew I'd be talking more about evangelism this morning. And for those of you who didn't know what you were getting yourself into, I'm going to try to make this fun, make it it really is a fun thing, especially when you don't take it personally. Just as I talked about last week, when we share the gospel, it's a win-win situation. People reject you and make fun of you, you win. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Jesus told us that, Matthew 5:11 and 12. So if you get rejected, you get persecuted, that's a win. You sow a seed, someone gets a little further along in their faith journey, that's a win. Someone maybe is ready to just pray and receive Christ and give their life to Jesus, that's a win. So it's really win-win-win. And I think this evangelism just really brings out, you know, what's in our hearts. Are we living under the fear of man, or are we living under the fear of God? And there are still times when I'm tempted to be like, well, I wonder what this person's going to think about me, or maybe they're going to get mad, or who knows. But the more I fall in love with Jesus, the more I enjoy my relationship with him, the less I care what other people think, because my identity comes from Jesus' performance. It doesn't come from what man thinks of me. You know, we're just fleshly sinners. And so why should I care what men think of me? I should care what the God of the universe thinks about me, who created me. So just a little word of encouragement there. I'm just going to go ahead and pray again, and then we've got a lot to cover this morning, so I'm going to zip through, and that food just keeps smelling better. So people are probably already thinking, all right, Pastor, yeah, let's get this go. let's go have some of that pho, right? Pho, like fa la 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 la. Anyway, I'm excited for it too, and what's to come. So here we go. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you that we can gather together and to hear from you, to hear from your word. Lord, we're here because of what you did for us on the cross. We wouldn't even be meeting on Sunday mornings had you not died for our sins and risen from the grave. So we praise you for that. Thank you for a reason that we have to celebrate, not only every Sunday, but every single day. Lord, I pray we thank you for our salvation, that you'd restore to us the joy of our salvation, that we would enjoy our relationship with you and couldn't help but want to tell others about you, just as the apostles did when they knew that you had risen from the grave, Lord, and people could not shut them up. Paul even got stoned, and he went back into the city to preach more. My goodness, all these guys gave their lives because of you, Jesus, because they believed. So we pray that we do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this title might be a little bit confusing to you. Some of you are probably thinking, S-word? Come on, Pastor, like the S-word? So I put that up there. You know, the S is in parentheses. So the title is Evangelism 102, the word or sword, you know, if you put the S in there. And I think the verse that we at the top of your bulletin, as you can see, kind of explains that. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is a sword. They go together. The word of God is a sword. And we'll talk about more of that in just a minute. So, but first, I want to review what we talked about last week. So there's a four-step process just in the approach. So, and we're going to be using this today, those who are able to stick around and join us and come on Wednesday. So when you approach someone, you always want to keep these four things in mind. You want to have love at the first and foremost, have an attitude of love. We're not looking out for arguments. We're looking to go love people. Listen is a huge gift that you can give to people. Just listen to them. We ask that question, how can I pray for you? Okay. And then you listen to them, and then you pray for them. And then you need to discern where are these people at in their spiritual journey? Are they a person of peace? Are they ready to hear the gospel, or are they very antsy and completely uninterested, in which case you give them a way out? Jesus never forced himself on anybody, and nor should we. If someone doesn't want to talk about it, they're not ready. and you at least just sowed some seeds. So use that, or maybe they are ready, okay? And then that fourth step is response. So if we take a next look at that next slide, this was also up from last week. So maybe you'll get to that point where it's like, what do I say now? Do I keep going? You know, it's got that little peace sign in the middle. Like, is this a person of peace or are they not? Should we respond to them with, well, thanks for talking with us, see you later? Or, hey, are you okay if we ask you a couple more questions? Which were in the bulletin last week. You know, if you were to die today, what chance would you have of going to heaven on a scale from 0 to 100%? You know, ask them that question, get them thinking, and just have that discernment. But how do we know what to say? How do we do that? Well, how is the Holy Spirit prompting you to respond? You've got to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is saying and be listening for His voice. Luke 12:12 tells us that. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, there's the story where Jesus is approached by the disciples, and the disciples come and say, Jesus, we couldn't cast this demon out. Why couldn't we do it? And He says, well, this one only comes out by prayer and fasting. Or some versions have the fasting, some don't. But then Jesus, if you read the text there, he didn't stop to pray and fast right in that moment. He was able to command that demon to come out. Why? Because he lived a constant lifestyle of prayer and fasting. He was already ready, you know. And so he's trying to teach the disciples, you've got to live a lifestyle of praying every day, being in the Word every day. And that's how we hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. So yeah, chances are, you know, maybe some of us will go out today to share our faith. And if you haven't read your Bible for 2 weeks and you haven't prayed for a month, then yeah, it might be kind of hard to hear what the Holy Spirit's telling you. But if you've got a lifestyle of walking with the Lord, listening every day, you're going to hear that voice loud and clear on what to do. So just encourage you with that. So, and then now this is in your bulletin as well as on the screen. If you meet a person of peace and they are ready to proceed, then be ready to use your sword, the Word of God. Let's look at that verse again, Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is probably the best weapon I can ever think of that you could have. This sword right here. There's so much that can be done with this sword. Let the Bible do the work. Let the Bible do the work. Let's take a look at another verse, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing joints and marrow, soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And I can sit and talk to people till I'm blue in the face, try to have reasoning and theological doctrines, and, well, this is why you should believe this, and here's why you can, but there's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. It's alive. It's active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. And so we need to use the Word of God when we're talking to people about salvation. So last week, we gave some options of how, so there's lots of ways you can share the gospel. There's lots of ways you can invite people to church, things like that. So one option, like Don shared in that challenge that I gave to everybody, take a business card and just invite somebody to church. You don't even have to talk to them if you're scared. Just leave it in your restaurant tab and make sure you tip them well. And whatever, you know, it's easy. You know, you can just, or you know, when you fill up for gas, if you happen to go in and pay and don't pay the pump, like, hey, just want to invite you to check out our church. You know, just invite them to come. So that's one way you can do it, is just simply inviting people. One I didn't mention last week, inviting people into your homes is a great way to build bridges and be Christ to people, you know, especially those that you're reaching out to, that you're praying for at work. Invite them over for dinner, have them over, and trust that the Holy Spirit will lead those conversations. So you can invite them to church, invite them to your home. We've got these in the back as well. This is just a simple generic gospel tract. It says, do you know for certain if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And that's one of those preliminary questions that we ask. Or what are the chances that you'd go to heaven if you were to die today? 50%? 75%? You know, what do you think? And then this just walks someone straight through the gospel. So these are good tools that you can give to somebody. Like, if they're working and you're in a hurry, like, I go to Papa Murphy's, I pick up our pizza, there's 10 people waiting for their pizzas, they're scrambling going through, and say, hey, thanks for serving me today. Here's something that's changed my life. I just encourage you to read it you know, when you get a chance, oh, thanks. You know, and man, I think 1 out of 1,000 times somebody has kind of been like, whatever, you know, almost always they're like, oh, thank you, you know, and take it and just trust that you sow a seed. Another way is having your own personal testimony track. So this is my story, how I became a Christian. And I've got some Bible verses in here. I talk about how to have a relationship with Christ. My contact information's on it if they want to talk more. So there's lots of different ways we can sow the seed. And so today we're getting into some more specific ways. So this is the picture that's on your bulletin, that's on the side of all these slides. So some tools that we can have ready. Another way we can share the gospel is having a Time to Revive gospel-tabbed New Testament Bible. So one of these, and this is what you use when you get through all those steps. They're a person of peace. They've got time to talk, and then you actually go through and read these verses. And that's what I'm going to talk about next in just a minute. So this is for the people that have time to actually like talk to you and look at the Word of God and read it out loud, because faith comes by hearing, right? People need to hear it. Sometimes people need to hear their own voice speaking the Word of God for it to really sink in. So there's something really powerful about having that person that you're talking to read these verses out loud. It really grips them. As we said, the Word of God is living and active. Okay, so that's one tool you can use. Another tool is the wristband. So this is something that, you know, maybe you're talking with somebody, you ask them those questions, you know, how confident are you that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Or, you know, what are you going to say to God when you appear him before him someday and he says, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say to him? You know, so if you get through those questions and they still, oh, I don't know, and they're thinking, you can see the Holy Spirit's movement in their heart, you know, that'd be a good opportunity to give them one of these wristbands, you know, and I've got a bunch in this bag, so don't worry about that. You take it off and say, here's a wristband. It's got some verses on here. Do you mind if we go through these together? And maybe they'll say, well, you know, I'm meeting this friend, or I got to go, or and you're like, okay, well, that's fine. So then you can give them one of these little cards, which I also have a bunch of, and it's got all four verses that's on the wristband written out. It's got the color, it's got the corresponding word, and you can say, hey, you know, when you get some time, why don't you just go through these verses and, you know, see what you think and see if that helps you to answer those questions that I asked you earlier. How sure are you that you'd go to heaven? What percent? And then what would you say to God if you died today and were standing before him and he asked, why should I let you into heaven? You know, cause, so this is a good thing to give them if they've got to leave or whatever. But then if they do have time to stand and talk to you, this is a wonderful tool to go through. So even someone who's like, man, I just don't know the Bible very well. Where's Romans? Well, guess what? There's a little tab right there. You open it up, and oh, and the verse is even highlighted. Like, man, I can't count very well. Is this chapter 3? There it is. It's highlighted. So it's all set up and ready to go for you. All you have to do is open it up and show them and have them read it. So and you want to make it fun. So for example, most people do know how to read, but there are some people that maybe don't, and they might be kind of looking at it. And I mean, give them an out, like, hey, yeah, maybe it's kind of dark out here. The print's a little too small. Do you want me to read it for you? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, thanks. You know, so just give them, you know, if they're feeling awkward and I mean, you can kind of tell that they're having a hard time and maybe they do have bad eyes. And I mean, this is kind of small print. So, Don, you might need some some corrective lenses to read it. So I'm teasing. I'll be coming right behind you. And I'm 35. I'm getting older. But anyway, give them an out and just have fun with them. You know, we don't want to be all serious and pompous when we're talking to them. So let's go ahead and go through these verses together. So we're going to go through the verses, the colors, the words, and I'm going to go through this fairly quickly because there's a short video that I want to watch at the end where the guy kind of gives a big synopsis of what I'm going to be telling you right now. So this is kind of the training part, and then we'll have like a summary video at the end, and then we'll kind of talk about our game plan of what we're going to do. So after you've gone through the love, listen, discern, respond part, and this person's still interested, and they're ready, and they're looking curious, like, yeah, I'd want to know 100% if that was possible, that I was going to go to heaven when I die. Okay, well, let's go through these verses together. So this is how this part works. So the first one, and then you can even show them you know, on your bracelet. Okay, so yellow on the bracelet, that's got Romans 3:23 on it. Okay, the yellow represents sin, okay? So then you open up the Bible to tab one already marked for you, and you say, okay, would you please read this out loud for me? And so, of course, I put the NASB because all of these Bibles we'll be using are in the NASB version. You may have another preferred version, but this will be the one that we're using for this. So then you have them open it up. Okay, hey, would you go ahead and read that out loud for me? So then they read it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, so that was easy. You have them read the verse. And then you ask them a question, which is, what do you think that verse means? You know what? And then you talk about it. And hopefully, as you guys have that discussion, you can agree that, yeah, everybody has sinned. God's standard is perfection, and when we sin, we fall short, and we miss that mark. And God is so holy that he can't be in the presence of sin, okay? So we all agree on that. Everybody sins. And if they don't agree with you on that, they may not be a person of peace, and maybe it's time for you to move on. They're like, oh, I've never sinned before. Oh, really? Wow. Have you ever told a lie before? Well, you know, and even that you can have fun with. Like, yeah, one of the Ten Commandments is you shall not lie. Have you ever lied before? Oh, no, I've never lied. Well, have you ever stolen anything before? You know, and it's pretty easy, you know, to go down that road and find out, like, okay, yeah, everybody has sinned. You know, I didn't have to teach my 4-year-old and 2-year-old how to hit each other, how to say no to us, how to lie. We didn't teach them those things. It came all on their own. Right? Moms and dads here? You don't have to teach your kids how to sin. That's our curse. That's sinful nature. Okay, so we get through that verse. Next one. All right. The black on the bracelet. That stands for death. Dun dun dun. You know, I got a funny story for you guys. Last week I was texting Don, like, hey, do you want to do announcements for me? And he's like, oh yeah. And then I get this text picture message, and it's like a white box, and it's got a big black circle in it. And I was just like, what? Is that the black spot? Like, am I being judged? You guys are familiar with that, right? From like Treasure Island and Pirates. Like, you give somebody the black spot. That's like, hey, your judgment day has come. Time has run out. So I text Don back. I was like, what does this mean, Don? Is this the black spot? He's like, oh, no, that was an accident. Didn't read it. Oh. So, but I was a little scared for a minute. I was like, wow, this looks really serious. The black spot. So anyway, so black represents death. See, now you guys won't forget it. Oh, here's the black spot. Watch out. And then you open that. Okay, so that's tab two, the black tab. So you open up to that one. Okay, would you please read that for me? So then they read it out loud. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So then you ask them, okay, that first part talks about wages. What is a wage? Okay, and you go through that. And it's, you know, a lot of people may not know what this word means. You know, we don't use it real often, but I mean, it's your paycheck. It's what you earn. You earn wages, right? So you talk about that. You know, wage is something you earn. Our sin earns us death. Okay, so when we break the law, and the punishment is the death penalty. Okay, if there's any sin on our plate, we cannot stand in God's presence. Period. And we are spiritually dead. Okay, we're going to die physically, but the Bible talks about our spiritual death. And if you die with sin on your plate that has not been covered by the blood of Jesus, you cannot be in God's presence, and therefore, you go to hell. Okay, God doesn't send you there; you sent yourself there by rejecting the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And God was in His kindness, in His mercy, in His steadfast love, He made a way for us. He made a way for us. You know, and some people make the comment, oh yeah, God of the Old Testament was a God of wrath and anger, and then He matured and grew up in the New Testament. I don't think so. Have you ever read the Psalms? Oh goodness, full of mercy and steadfast love. I mean, we read about it all throughout. How many times could He have just obliterated the Israelites? And He wanted to, and Moses was like, no, Lord, please don't destroy them. And then He held back His wrath. God never changes. He's always, always, ever since Adam and Eve sinned, He's had a plan of how to restore our relationship with Him. And He's so good. He's so good. But our sin gets in the way if we don't let Him help us. Okay, and just like a just judge in a court of law, will see to it that somebody pays for their crime, so God, a just judge, will see to it that people pay for their crime, unless someone has paid that penalty for them. Okay, so you can kind of talk about things like that. Okay, we can pay a different fine, but that's not enough. Going to church or being good doesn't pay our death penalty. Okay, a good deed doesn't cancel out a bad deed. People need to realize that. If I have Charlton house sit my house for a week, and he gets crazy one night and smashes the TV and the coffee table, and then he's like, uh-oh, I shouldn't have done that. Well, I'm going to vacuum the house and wash his car to make up for it. And then I get back from my trip, I'm like, Charlton, my TV's smashed in, my coffee table's broken, what happened? Oh, yeah, well, I wouldn't worry about that. See, because look, I vacuumed your house and I washed your car for you, and Charlton, the fact is, my TV's still broken. By vacuuming my floor, it didn't fix my TV. See, a good deed does not cancel out a bad deed. Someone's got to pay for it. I mean, it was nice that he vacuumed and washed my car, but I still got a broken table and a broken TV, right? So you can use analogies like that. Okay, next one. Red. The red represents love. And you could even ask him, like, you know, what do you think the red on the bracelet means? Somebody like, oh, blood, or you know, who knows what they might say. And then you're like, oh yeah, that's a good thought. When I look at red, I think about love. I think about God's love for us. Let's look at that one. Okay, so then you find the red tab, number 3. Go to that in the Bible, and then you have them, okay, let's read this out loud. And then you have them read it out loud. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you can ask him a question like this. What do you think that means? What does that verse say in your own words? And now we're starting to make some progress. So we started off with the bad news. Yep, we're sinners. Yep, that earns us death. That sounds really bad. How do we fix it? Okay, so now we're getting on to the good news. Okay, so God's love washes away that sin and death from the previous two verses. Okay, this is true unconditional love. And for most of us in our lives, we've only experienced conditional love. We've experienced people manipulating us. I will love you if. I will do this for you if. But that's not how it is with God. He gives us unconditional love. We don't have to do anything to impress him, and he loves us. He loves us while we were yet sinners, while we're scum, while we're running away from him, breaking his laws, and he says, I love you. I want a relationship with you. So amazing. And that's good news. That's what the gospel means. Gospel means good news. We have the best news that we could ever give to somebody. While we were yet sinners. So he doesn't say, oh, you got to clean up your act. You got to get it together. It's like, no, he's extending this free gift of salvation just where you are, just where you're at. And unfortunately, there's a lot of hypocrisy in our culture, especially in the church, where you do have to clean up your act or you can't come. Not here. We take people where they're at. We love them. The world is full of broken, messed up people, myself included. And only by the grace of God do we have any value, any significance. Our identity comes from Jesus' performance. And for those of you who know me well enough, if I wasn't a saved Christian, oh man, you would not like me at all. I wouldn't like me at all. If I didn't have the grace of God, there's nothing attractive about me other than Jesus Christ. And I'll say that up front. Only by what Christ has done in my life is there anything good that comes out of me because of God's love for me. And that should inspire us to love others. Verse number 4. Okay, so you talk about God's love. And then you go to Ephesians 2:8-9. Okay, so the blue on here represents faith. Okay, we've got to have faith, like the song, got to have faith. Okay, Ephesians 2:8-9. Okay, so we turn to verse 4. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then you ask him these questions. What does that verse say about works? Well, what would happen if salvation was based on works? According to the verse, how are we saved? So you talk about that. So this verse says we can't get to heaven by good works, okay? And there's a lot of people under the understanding that, yeah, if I do enough good things, if I go to church, if I don't kill anybody, then I get to go to heaven, right? Well, no, this verse says it's not by works. It's by faith, right? Okay, if it was by works, we could get prideful and think that we're better than others. Oh, yeah, took out my landlady's garbage. I paid my tithe this week. I read my Bible. I'm doing pretty good for myself, thank you. I think that's going to get me a little closer to heaven today. And then we become prideful. We become conceited, like the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day that Jesus called out again and again and again. You brood of vipers, you hypocrites. You put such a heavy burden on these people and you don't lift a finger to help them yourselves. But not here. We embrace the grace that Jesus Christ has given us. We don't expect people. We are not saved by good works. We're saved to do good works. Because the very next verse after Ephesians 4:8-9 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before so that we could walk in them." So we're not saved by good works. We're saved to do good works. God's got an amazing plan for everybody's life that he wants to use you for his glory. Okay? So according to the verse, how are you saved? Through faith. It's not by something we do. It's by something that Jesus already did. And that's how we're saved. And then the last one, and perhaps the most important to seal the deal in this conversation. Romans 10:9-10. So that goes along with the green part on your bracelet, which represents life. Okay? So that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And I bolded salvation on that verse because when you are saved, that's when you receive eternal life. So that word life corresponds with salvation. Once someone is saved, then they have eternal life. So a question you can ask them with these two verses. What are the two things that it takes to be saved according to that verse? Okay. Well, number one, you need to believe in your heart. You've got to believe in your heart. Number two, you need to confess it with your mouth. So there's something important about internalizing it, having it in your heart where God sees it, but then also saying it out loud with your mouth so that others know and that you are making a public proclamation like, yes, I believe this, because that just seals the deal. It's like on your wedding day. There's three responses. You can say yes, no, or nothing. You know, the date, like, do you promise, da, 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 as long as you both shall live? Okay, you've got three options. You can say yes, or you can say no, or you can just stand there and not say anything, which would be awkward. But, like, honey, we talked about this. we practiced. Okay, so most of us, haven't outwardly said no to God per se, but we haven't said yes either. You know, a lot of people in this world. So that part about confessing Jesus as Lord is so important. To call on someone as Lord means that they are in control, that they're calling the shots, and that you're subject to them, that you are the servant and that they are the master. And Jesus is looking to be Lord in our lives. And things are so much better off when he has that job and not us. The more you try to rule your life, the more you will ruin your life. The more you try to rule your own life, the more you will ruin your life. And I have seen that happen in my life when I make decisions outside of Jesus. So are you ready to give him the keys? Okay, so you get to that point in your life. And then you can ask, is there anything holding you back from receiving Jesus today? So if they're still tracking with you, you'll be able to tell, you know, especially with the Holy Spirit working through you, you know, if they're just kind of like going like this and getting quiet, then it's like obviously they're not wanting to talk about this much more. They're probably feeling convicted, and people don't like feeling convicted, and then might be a good time just like, well, you know, why don't you think about this, whatever. But maybe they're just like, you can see like these light bulbs turning on. They're like, wow, I've never had anybody explain this to me like this before, and it's making sense. And I mean, that's when you're like, okay, is there anything holding you back from making this decision right now? Let's pray, okay? So at this point, I'd like to have a video shown. This pretty much kind of summarizes everything I just told you in like a quick 5 minutes or less. Makes it kind of fun. So this will just be good to just solidify it in us. So we'll watch this real briefly, and then we'll close.
Wants to impact their community. How? By sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem is that many of us are scared about how people are going to respond. So I just want to very simply just kind of walk you through how we use these to share the gospel with lost people. How do we use these to share the gospel with family members or friends? And after we pray with somebody, we say, hey, how can I pray for you? we just give them this wristband. They'll look at it, and I'll say, do you notice that there's five colors? Well, yeah. Well, do you have a couple minutes where I can articulate what these five colors mean? And I'll pull out a little blue Bible, and I'll say, hey, can I walk you through these five colors? And so I'll say, if you don't mind, put your thumb on number one. And what you'll see is the verse that's already highlighted in black. The key is that we don't read this for them. Now, hopefully, Lord willing, they can read. And so we ask them, hey, is this print too small or is it too dark outside? We always try to give people an out so that they don't have to read. But if they can read it, you know, and they read it out loud, it's because faith comes by hearing the word. We're not here to shove anything down their throat. We want the Spirit of God to kick in through the scriptures. And so after they read Romans 3:23, we say, hey, do you believe that everybody sins? And so, you know, if they believe this, if they agree to this, then we say the yellow word is sin. Now, sin leads to something. And so we ask them to go to Romans 6:23, which is the color black. So they put their thumb on number two, they open it up, and they begin to read this out loud. And so we talk about the wages of sin. What everybody earns is death. Sin leads to death, which leads us to the third color. It's red. Sometimes I ask, what do you think it means? Sometimes they'll say hell, and sometimes they'll say blood. And we just say, hey, let's go to Romans 5:8 again. Have them read out loud. And as they read it out loud, I just love watching the Holy Spirit begin to take over. And we just talk about God's love. He demonstrates his love by putting his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Why? So that the sin and death can be taken away. So that third word is love. But then you get into the fourth color. Now, this is kind of the fun one. This is the blue one. So we go to Ephesians 2:8-9, and we have them read it out loud. The scripture says you are saved from the sin of death by having faith in Jesus Christ, by receiving this gift. Then at this point, you want to say, hey, do you want to read this fifth and final one? And Lord willing, they'll say yes. And you say, okay, the green color. Romans 10:9-10. If you would, put your thumb on number five and open it up and have them read out loud Romans 10:9-10. Now, I always say, hey, this is a little bit longer, some bigger words, but hang in there. You kind of want to make it lighthearted. You want to enjoy this. Don't make this so serious. You never want to make it serious to the point where you're like, gosh, you guys are boring. Man, look, if Christ has changed your life, you got to act like he actually has changed your life. Act like you actually have life in you, which is the fifth word. The green word is life, because scripture says that when you confess that Jesus is your Lord and that you actually believe this, the scripture says you will have eternal life. So many of us think, it's a free ticket to heaven. Man, it's so much more than that. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God right here and now. He begins to change your life today. And so you went from sin and death all the way to the green to life. Why? Because of what he did for us on the cross, because you had faith and that he did this for us. You can't expect everybody to get it right away, but there are times, there are people that are going to say, I want this right away. Now, what do? Well, I go to the orange tab on the blue Bible. There's no orange on your wristband. You say, hey, you notice, those are the five colors, but I got a sixth one on the Bible. So I have to go to the back of the Bible, and there's going to say a verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And when you give your life to Christ, you are literally forgiven of everything. But I never go on sharing the gospel without articulating that you can receive the Holy Spirit when you say yes to Jesus. And so you just simply just say, hey, is there anything keeping you from placing your trust in Christ? Ask them that question. Don't be afraid of being rejected, because it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus Christ. And so ask them. If they say, no, absolutely not, then you just say, okay, would you be willing to pray right now that Jesus is your Lord? And some will look at you funny. They might give you a strange look, or some will say, yeah, I don't even know how to say that. And all you need to simply do is say, Jesus, I believe that you're my Lord and Savior. I believe that you forgive me of my sins. And you kind of help them with that, and they're off and running. And I got to tell you, though, this is one step. You see, we're not here to make converts. We're here to make disciples. And so, you know, we use these blue Bibles, use these wristbands as a means to articulate who we are in Christ so that others can grasp who he is as well. My challenge is who could you share this with? Who could you already start this process of introducing Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God to somebody today? These blue Bibles and these wristbands, they're a simple way to help us pursue revival in such a tangible way that people can experience Christ. Thanks.
There we go. I suppose I could have just showed that and then have the message a lot shorter, but sums it up pretty nicely, doesn't it? Just how to go about it. And some of you might even be thinking right now about some people in your life, perhaps a neighbor, coworker, somebody that doesn't know Christ, that perhaps the Holy Spirit's already prompting you, like, man, I should just go talk to this person. It'd be so easy, you know, if I get one of these wristbands and go through these questions. And so I really like how they present that. So just a couple more pointers here. So after you ask him that question, if someone does pray to receive Christ, or even if they don't, maybe they're just like, yeah, you know, this sounds really great, but I think I just need some time to think about it a little bit. And when people say that to me, I'll tell them, you know what? I'm really proud of you because this is a big decision. And it's people like you that count the cost and think about how my life's going to have to change if I start, you know, following Jesus. You're the kind of people that end up being some of the strongest Christians. I mean, so I'll often commend people on that. Yeah, please, you know, sleep on this. Think about it a couple of days. Anyway, so whatever the response ends up being, if you feel like, you know, and especially if they do pray to receive Christ right there, exchange contact information. You might even want to just send them a text right away and just make sure it goes through and be like, hey, I'd love to, you know, stay in contact with you. Maybe we can get together for coffee, talk about this more. And if you're not feeling really confident on what to have them pray through, he basically, you know, went through the basics, but, you know, just admitting that you're a sinner, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you know, as that verse says, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I mean, so you just need to confess that. Like, yep. And there is also a verse on the back of these Bibles that you could use as a reference to have them pray through. My preference is to have them pray in their own words, because then you know that's coming from them. It's coming from their heart. They're not just like, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. But I thank you for your son. I thank you for your son. You know, because it's easy to just kind of mindlessly repeat something. But, you know, that very well could be, you know, if you're kind of timid and they're kind of timid, like, well, let's read this prayer together. And, you know, and can be a great tool. But, yeah, that's on the back here. And then this is the discipleship part that he talked about. Yeah, it's got that 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the back, and then kind of gives them some tips on how to grow in Christ, finding a community, a church home, reading your Bible, praying, and then who they can share Christ with. So it kind of gets them started right away. I agree with what he said on the video. We don't want just converts here and say, oh yeah, I prayed with someone to receive Christ, and then 2 weeks later their life is not changing. You know, we want to see people become disciples and help them. And sometimes it takes a long time for people to give up old sin habits and things like that. And that's why we're patient with them. Anyway, so remember, always be covered in prayer. Most important thing that we'll do before we go out today after lunch, listen to the Holy Spirit and have fun. You know, this is meant to be just a fun thing. And I know some of you guys are thinking like, no, this is not fun. But it can be. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. And you just become more comfortable, more relaxed. You make it fun for them. And I mean, so things like this can take some practice. But then you just keep getting better every time. And we're not going to be going by ourselves after lunch. Whoever's able to stay and do it, I'll make sure that there's like at least one more kind of experienced person in each group that's okay with talking. And maybe your role will be in a group of three and going along, and maybe you'll just be kind of silently praying for the people who are doing the talking, praying for the person who we are talking to during that time, which is also very important. To have somebody just praying while other people are doing the talking. So you don't necessarily have to be the talker. But the more you hear other people do it that have done it, you'll just keep getting better and better. So that's that for Evangelism 101 and 102. Yeah, so if you're able to, yeah, we'll just sing one last song real briefly. We'll have some lunch, and then about 12:30 we'll try to start wrapping up lunch, and then we'll get some instructions and just go out for an hour, be back here at 1:30, talk about how it went, and then we'll go ahead and do it again on Wednesday. So if you just pray with me once more, we'll have the worship team come up and do one last song, and we'll go from there. Yeah, so Lord, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for the men and women that have put these tools together with Time to Revive, Lord, and we know there's lots of great evangelism tools out there. Word, of course, the Bible, and that's what these guys use for that. So we just pray, Father, that you'd help each of us, if not today, then this week, or perhaps on Wednesday, or other points in our lives, just be putting people on our hearts, Lord, that need to know you, people that need to hear the gospel. And I pray that you'd grow us, Lord, that we'd become effective in sharing our faith, as Philemon verse 6 says, and that you would use us, Lord, to build your kingdom, that we would open our mouths, that we'd be delighted to tell others about the relationship that we have with you, Jesus. So pray you grow us in that today. In Jesus' name, amen.